David, and we're going to continue in that tonight, if you will. We're in the book of 2 Samuel. And I don't know that I've mentioned this or said this much about this part of it, but in corollary verses for that, a lot of this same information you'll find in the book of 1 Chronicles. There's a lot of this that overlaps with similar writings and similar thoughts, but the same information just from two different viewpoints. And the book of Samuel is written, 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, written more of a perspective of somebody that is like a writer. Okay, that sounds crazy, I know, but written from that kind of perspective of just a normal, everyday person, journalistically, if you will. But then when you look in the book of 1 and 2 Chronicles, you see that written like
somebody that's an accountant. I mean, they're writing statistics and names and numbers and all of those sort of things, which is a little bit more, you know, streamlined and a little bit more informational. And I guess it's just kind of how you want to get your information. But, we've been going through Samuel and getting that. And like I say, if you want to study that and read some of that on your own, you're welcome to do that, obviously. But we're just kind of staying with the Samuel account and getting the fluffier side, if you will, rather than streamlining it in Chronicles and getting all the names and all of the info that you can get there. All right, so let's look, if you will. As I said, we've been doing this for a while, and this is our 22nd study in the life of David. That makes that a little bit of a lengthy study, right? 22, and most every one of these, as far as I know, we've been doing them on Wednesday nights, so you've had 22 lessons, 22 times that we preached out of the book of 1 and 2 Samuel about the life of David and those that interact with him. So tonight we're going to look at David in 2 Samuel chapter number 6, and we're going to talk about this just as the main thought, is the need for the presence of the Lord. The need for the presence of the Lord. And in understanding that, all the way back in 1 Samuel in chapter number 6, you'll see that the Ark of the Covenant of the people of Israel that they always had with them was taken from them by the Philistines. If you know that story, that was when Eli was the high priest. Samuel was just a child. Samuel the prophet was just a child. And the sons of Eli were wicked men that were supposed to be men of God, but they were just wicked men. And the Bible talks about how that their enemy, the Philistines, came against them and took away the ark away from the people of God. And if you'll remember one of the wives of those two sons of Eli was expecting a child. When all this happened, she gave birth and she died, and they named her child Ichabod, which means the glory has departed, right? That's what happened at that point. That's back in 1 Samuel chapter number 6. But here you come to a place where David has now been made the king, and David understands that there is a strong necessity for the Ark of the Covenant to be back with the people of God, because to them it represented the presence of the Lord. So look here in chapter number 6, if you will, and we'll read just a little bit. Chapter number 6, 2 Samuel, verse 1. Again, it says, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart, brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, and accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went also before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of that place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for your goodness and your mercies and your love on us. Bless us now as we look in your word. Give us direction. Give us wisdom. Give us some help here tonight. And may we just learn the lesson you've got set forth for us. May we rejoice and be glad for what the Lord's done. May we lift you up. And I pray you'd touch all those that need a touch of God on their hearts and lives tonight. And we'll thank you for everything that's done. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, I want you to see with me tonight and notice we're going to talk about the need for the presence of the Lord. Because that is exactly what the Ark of the Covenant here represents, okay? It represents to the people of Israel, it represented to them the presence of the Lord. Now, many times it almost seemed like they got into a place where it was a superstition. It was almost like we've got our little box here, and as long as we've got our little box, everything's going to be okay. And, you know, we don't need to do that. God told us not to be idolaters. And as I say, they almost got to that place where this was like idolatry to them. They said, well, as long as we've got this, we're okay. It's not so much this, the ark, the box, all the things that are in the box. It's that they needed the presence of the Lord. And can I tell you today, we still need the presence of the Lord. Amen? We got to have the presence of the Lord. When we meet, when we have church, when we do anything in our Christian life, we need the presence of the Lord. Amen? So, here they are. And David, I want you to just notice this first of all, and the thing about this story. You see that there is the man who died. In this story, there is a man who died. And the Bible tells us that his name is Uzzah. He is a son of the man, Abinadab, that has had the ark at his possession for some period of time. And we don't know exactly how long that period of time, but it's been years. And it's been out of the place of the people of Israel. So David, all of a sudden, I want you to see that David places an emphasis upon getting this ark. David has an emphasis on it. It said David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David gets an army, I'd say 30,000 is a pretty good army, of men to go and retrieve the ark where it is. Since the Philistines had sent it back to the land of Israel. And you'll see, as I say, you'll go back and read in the early part of the book of Samuel, you'll see where the Philistines got it. They got the ark. But when they got it, they didn't know what to do with it. And if you remember the story, they put the ark in the place where their gods was. And when they went in to check on it the next day, their God, their main God, had fallen on his face before the Ark of the Covenant. And so they thought, well, something's happened here. They straightened it back up. Come back the next day, he was down on his face again, and his arms and his legs were cut off. And they began to realize there was something to this that meant more than just a little box of superstition to the people of God. And they sent it back to the people of Israel, but it only went right inside the borders of the land of the Israeli people. And it's been there for years and years and years, and went through all of this time period, and all of a sudden David decides that he needs that piece of equipment, I guess that's what we'll call it. And David arose in verse 2 and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. I mean, David said, look, we're going to go get the ark. And I don't understand other than to tell you, David realized that he needed the presence of God. I believe David had, you know, his spiritual life goes up and down and up and down. But I believe he finally hits a place here where he understands he needs that ark and he needs the presence. He needs to have the presence of God in everything he's doing as the new king. So David and 30,000 of his men go down. In verse number 3, they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. Now they've gone down and they get the ark and they put it on a new cart. They build a little wagon, if you will. And if you remember studying anything about the Ark of the Covenant, it is a box that has a particular set of measurements to it. So they probably build this little cart that they can draw with a horse or a cow or a mule or whatever they got, and they can pull this cart back to the city of David. And that's David's intention. They build a new cart for this thing to travel on. They go down and they pick it up. And it says that they, verse number 4, they brought it to the house, out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and psalteries, timbrels, cornets, and on cymbals. They had a big celebration. I mean, David is, he's just all excited about getting this ark back. I mean, it is a big deal. And it is an important thing to him. And he's excited about it. And they're bringing it back. And David is having a parade, let's say. I mean, they're all excited. They're driving their little cart. And they've got the Ark of God. And David is, whoo, buddy, we've got the presence of God with us now. But I want you to notice something happens. I want you to notice about David's error with this ark. Notice, if you will, it said in verse number 6, when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Now, who knows? I mean, there's very little explanation given there. And even if you go over and read the accompanying part over in Chronicles, you don't see too much information given other than something causes the cart to shift a little bit. I mean, any of you familiar with transporting anything? You're carrying it, but you hit a bump, you go into a rough spot, or something happens, maybe that whatever, the little animals, the oxen, whatever, are pulling the cart, and they're going along, and then all of a sudden, here they are at a threshing floor. A threshing floor is a place where they have threshed wheat, and there's the chaff left, and there's maybe some remnants of wheat, and maybe those oxen decide they want to go over here and eat a little bit of the grain that's left behind. Who knows? Something happens, and that cart kind of shifts a little bit. Well, when it does, I'd say this guy Uzzah is just like any one of us in the room would be. You reach up there and you grab a hold of it to try to steady it and keep it from sliding off the cart. And God strikes him dead right there. God strikes him dead. I mean, there is a man that has died. Now, you know, you look at this and you think about what has happened. What's gone wrong? Well, you can tell very quickly by studying your Bible. God always intended for the ark to be carried. If you go back and study in the Old Testament, in the Exodus and Leviticus, you see that God gave them explicit commands for the priests or the Levites to carry the Ark of the Covenant. They were the only ones that were to do that. And they were to do it in a specific manner. The Ark of the Covenant was made with rings on all four corners of it. And those men were supposed to put poles or staves, they call them. But you'd put poles, much like this, between those rings. And there'd be a man at the front, a man at the back. And they'd hold it like this on one side. And then on the other side, the other men would have it. They'd hold it up. So you had four men that would carry this cart, much like you would a casket at a funeral. You got men on both sides, and they're carrying it, and they're distributing the weight, and they got to be men of God to do that. And I want to tell you what happened. David left out something very important. He left out the important word of God. And I'm telling you, this is probably what the whole point of the whole thing is tonight. You better pay attention to what God says when God says do something and do it the right way. Can I tell you this? I mean, you look at this and it says that they came to the threshing floor, and then Uzzah put his hand on the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. You look at that, and that's the most innocent thing in the world that a person could do. As I say, it'd be a normal reaction. Oh, this is moving. I better stop it. It might fall off. I better brace it. I better hold on to it. But can I tell you, they were doing a good thing, but they were not doing it in the right way. And what I'm saying is the same thing holds true for us as far as following God. Let's do a good thing, but let's do it in the right way. Let's do it in the right way. Everything that we do for God, we need to be doing it in the right way. So, because of what was done, because of David's error, and I'm going to call it David's error about the ark, he should have known better. Do you know what David did on everything else that he had been doing up to this point? David went and inquired of the Lord. Do you know David didn't do any inquiring here? He just went and did it by himself. So again, let me tell you, there's some good lessons in this for all of us, all right? So you see, there's a man who died. Second of all, look at this. There's a man who detoured. Look at David. It says in verse number 7 that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And look at verse number 8. Kind of unusual. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And that word Perez Uzzah, that word just simply means the breach or the breaking of Uzzah. I mean, it's just sort of a memorial type name about what happened in that place. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside unto the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. So David takes a detour. I mean, he's taking this thing. He's leading it. He's leading the parade. He's leading with the excitement. And they're headed for the city of David with the ark of the covenant. But all of a sudden, something happens, and David gets into a doubtful mindset, and it changes David's whole attitude. It changes David's whole thought process. It changes his thinking upon some things that are right from God. And I'll tell you, sometimes if you don't understand what God's doing and why He does it, then you may be like David. David got into a detour. Look what happened to him. First of all, notice David's consternation. It says that David was displeased. Can I tell you, it ain't the right thing to get upset with the Lord. Now, we do, and we do it at times, and I guess even sometimes we'll say it's understandable. But David was displeased with what the Lord done. It's like David said, well, God, why in the world? Hey, I'm kind of mad about what you've done right here, the way you did it. I mean, it's as if he is really making a big deal about him knowing more than the Lord. Can I tell you, we never do. We never do know more than what the Lord does. But David has a displeasure. He's upset. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach. I mean, you know, and I'm sure David looked at it the same way me. Well, all he was doing was trying to help. All he was doing was trying to keep that from falling off. I mean, that's something of God. And we all try to do what we ought to do. Yeah, but you better do things in the way that pleases and is directed by the Lord. So, you see David and his consternation. Second of all, notice it's David and his confusion. Look at verse number 9. And David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? I mean, he's got some confusion now about whether he wants this thing with him or how he's going to. Well, if this is going to be a problem, if this is what's going to happen, if this is how it's going to go, then how am I going to get it where I need to get it? Because we still got a ways to go. And hey, as I told you, if he'd have looked at the plan in the beginning and understood what God had for him to know, then he could have done it in the right way. But no, David's going to do it David's way. And let me tell you, I don't care whether he's the king, doesn't matter who he was, doesn't matter what his qualifications and his understanding and all, doesn't matter about any of that, buddy, you got to do what God says do the way that God says to do it. Amen? That's what God wants done. So David is in a place of confusion. I'll tell you, sometimes me and you can get in that place when we don't understand and we can't figure out why, you know, this didn't go the way me and you think it ought to go. Or, well, I was doing a good thing. I thought I was doing what's right. I thought I was doing something to be a blessing and be a help. But no, sometimes it'll cause you to wind up in confusion. It'll get you in a place of consternation. You'll be mad if you're not careful. And if you get mad, it'll wind up, you're in a place of confusion. Then what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do this? Well, notice you find David's conclusion in this. So what does he do? Well, it says that they, in verse 10 in the latter part, but David carried it aside unto the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the Ark of the Covenant continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. All right? Let's look at a third man. Let's look at a man who delights in some things. Here's a man who has just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, has this Ark of the Covenant of God come to his house. Now, first of all, let's look at that. Let's talk about the person. Let's talk about Obed-Edom. Now, what does his name, what does it mean? Well, really, Obed, if you think about this, Obed was the name of the baby that Ruth and Boaz had. If you remember when they had their baby, they named him Obed. You remember that? Over in the book of Ruth, last chapter, child is born. They say, what are we going to do? And they name him Obed. Do you know what the name Obed means? Obed means servant or one who serves. And so This guy's name was Obed Edom. And that term Edom is thrown in there, and it gives you an idea about some of his relationship and where he's at and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't necessarily enter into anything. But the word Edom comes from the name Esau. That was Jacob's twin brother. And that word means red. So his name, this guy's name, means servant of that which is red. Wow. I tell you, that's a good name for a fella, because Obed Edom, he is one of the Levites of the people of God. He's a man of God. He is a fellow that serves the Lord. He's got the right kind of name to do what he's about to do. He's a servant of God. So David finds a man. He hears of this fellow, and he said, okay, here's a guy that serves with the priesthood. Here's a guy that's a servant of God. Here's a guy that's able. Let's leave it with him and let him deal with it. We've had a hard time with it, and it just hadn't worked for us. It hadn't done for David what David thought it would do for him. So he says, let's leave it with him and see what happens. But isn't it amazing what happens? You look at the prosperity that comes through this whole situation. It said, and the ark of the Lord continued, in verse number 11, in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Amen? What are you saying? I'm saying when you're right with God, and when you've got the right mindset, and when you're not worried about whether what you're doing and how you're doing, if it's going to please God, can I tell you, thank God, it'll work every time. Amen. When you do what God said do, when you're there, and look, God prospered him. Somebody said, well, you know, preacher, what does that mean, that God blessed him? Well, let me tell you this. The Bible tells you, and this is over in the book of Chronicles where you see all that chronicling, that God blessed him with 8 kids. 8 boys, as a matter of fact. He might have had more kids than that. I don't know. But he had 8 boys. God blessed him. Amen. I guess that's a blessing, ain't it? Somebody say amen right there. You got 8 kids, you're blessed. But in that day it was. It was considered a great blessing from God. Here was a man, and he was just trying to serve God. He's just trying to do what he could for God. He's just trying to do what's right in the sight of God. And God blessed him, amen. But weren't you glad of that? God blessed him. God took care of him. God met his needs and gave him exactly what he needed, and then brought this in, and he had the presence of the Lord for there for 3 months. Won't you notice what happened beyond that? Notice the precept that you get from this. Look a little bit of the lesson, if you will. It says God, he had that there, had the Ark of the Covenant for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And look what it says in verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Amen? Boy, let me tell you, David saw what the true picture was, and he understood. I think when you go over in the book of Chronicles, you see that David does some reading. He goes back and does his research. Should have done it in the first place. He goes and finds out some information from God, which is what he should have done in the first place. And you know what? He finds out, hey, the priests are supposed to be carrying this. And they're supposed to be transporting it in a particular way. So they do. When he goes back and finally gets it, you know what? He says, hey, that is not a bad thing. Maybe David's got to the place where he says, well, I thought that's what I wanted. I thought it was going to help. I thought it was going to work. But look what's happened, and look at all the negative of it. And I just don't know. Can I tell you, you'll never go wrong by having and needing and desiring of the presence and the power of God in anything that you do. But I'm telling you this, you better go about it in the right way. You better go about it and do this thing in the right way. And as I said, this is kind of the precept, the thing for me and you to learn is this. And it's pretty simple. Obedience brings blessings, and disobedience can bring judgment. I mean, that's pretty much the lesson that they had to learn, because that's exactly what happened. When you don't do things the way that God says do, you don't follow things the way God says follow, you don't act upon the precept, the laid down commandments, the Word of God, then, buddy, you can have all kinds of problems. But isn't it good to know that when you do what God says do, the way that God says do it, with the people that God says do it with, hey, it all turns out to be a blessing. Now, the rest of this chapter tells us how that David brings this on back to the city of David, which is Jerusalem. And it says there in verse 13, it was so that when they had bare the ark of the Lord and had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And if you remember the story, the rest of it, his wife gets mad at him. She looks out the window, his wife Michael looks out the window, and she sees him out there. And I don't know, she's jealous. I don't know what she is, but she gets upset about David out there prancing and dancing around. And she tells him, well, you got out there and made a real show of yourself today, buddy. And he said, I was dancing to the Lord. Amen. I was doing this for God. I wasn't doing this for me. He said, I was dancing. And you know, a little bit of a strain in their relationship takes place from this. And the Bible tells us toward the end of this, it said, therefore, verse 23, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. God closed up her womb, and she had no children until the day of her death, because she had acted in kind of a hateful way. David finally got things straightened out in his heart and in his doings, and now his wife begins to act up. What I'm saying is, again, you just obey what God says do. And that's a whole lot better than thinking and doing and acting in the way that me and you think that we ought to many times. Amen? Isn't that about the truth, though? We need to find ourselves doing the right thing to honor and worship and praise God. Amen? Amen. Well, let's come to a close there and say we've come through that little episode in the life of David. And David has found out that he does need the presence of the Lord. I'm telling you, every one of us here, we need the presence of the Lord. When we get ready to have church, I want the Lord to show. I want the Lord here with us. Whenever we get ready to worship, go to meeting, whatever we're doing, let's have the Lord present. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready.